This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it's our pleasure to go up to the studios at WFAN in New York right now and welcome in Brandon Tierney, hosts Middays up there. BT, what's going on, man?
Representing Queens. She was raised out of Brooklyn. I like the music, man. What's going on, guys?
And he does a good job over there. Although he's repping St. Louis today. He's dressed like Nelly for Halloween. So I don't know if you...
All right. You know, I did see the Band-Aid. I didn't know if he cut himself shaving or what. What's up, Nell?
No, he's just dressed like Nelly because, of course, he is. So I'm so curious to see where you guys are right now because this Giants team... Yeah, the face says it all. This Giants team is not playing the best football. I think there was a lot of feelings going into the season that this could be a very frustrating year. Where were you at kind of coming into the season and how has it played out based off that, those expectations versus the reality?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. Coming into the season, I didn't have incredibly high expectations. I certainly, believe in the coach. I like, in theory, certainly I like what he did a couple of years ago. And he's provided me with enough evidence. And I think most Giant fans thought about Dable, maybe Shane, the GM, a little less. But the head coach to have, at least put the Giants on the right path. I know they're short on talent. I think everybody knew that coming in. The Vikings game week one was an eye opener because we didn't think Minnesota would be that good and the Giants didn't play well. So, all that being said, where are we now versus where am I now versus where was I coming into the season? I think probably a little worse, even though my expectations were fairly nominal. And I said this the other day on my show with Sal, I said, the problem if you're a Giants fan right now is before this year, all right, the Eagles owned you, Dallas, even though Dallas has issues, Dallas has owned you. But the one team that you can look squarely in the eye is the Commanders. And, whether it's a tie, whether it's a tight win, whether it's a narrow loss, there was really no separating factors for either team. Flip a coin. Well, now it's really the complete antithesis. The Giants, I don't have it in front of me, but the Giants plus minus, minus 50. I think the Commanders is plus 60, somewhere like that. Obviously a very good record. And more specifically, they've got the franchise cornerstone quarterback who very well could wind up with an MVP or two down the road. So, so I think it's gotten worse because they very rarely win division games. And now the one team that, you've had moderate success against the last couple of years, they're flying past everybody, let alone you. So it doesn't seem very encouraging, to be honest with you.
To say the least, double check the numbers you were talking there. Yeah, Giants are minus 58. The Commanders are plus 69. Also, the amount of green in the NFC North is disgusting. The worst team in plus minus in the NFC North is the Bears, who are plus 44 on the season, which is
That is crazy. Ridiculous. That's rare. You don't see that too much.
No, but also the way the NFL schedule works, eventually those teams will have to play each other twice. So we'll see how that goes in the season. Brandon Tierney's with us from WFAN in New York, and I think the thing that's interesting about the Giants is you can look at some of the moves they made and go, "Oh, this is good." But you see the difference, obviously, here this year, how much a quarterback matters. And for Daniel Jones, not playing good football, Jaden Daniels is somehow playing at an MVP level as a rookie. And if you took those two players out of it, I don't know how much talent differentiation there is on the roster. Coaching staff is a different story, but talent differentiation outside of quarterback seems a lot more similar. So the big question I feel like fundamentally, beyond this season, BT, before we get into this game this weekend is, Do you trust the coaching staff that's in place and Joe Shane, who clearly, I think, based off what we saw in Hard Knocks, is not Daniel Jones's biggest believer? Like, I think in the back of his mind, like, he knew, but John Mara was only going to let him do so much. They had to sign the contract, whatever, a couple years ago. Yep. But when you hit the reset button, is this staff the one that should get to reset it?
My answer is more yes than no, but I'm not fully convinced. I mean, listen, I'm more yes than no. And usually it's the other way. Like when, you know, year three and going backwards, and to take a quick step back from a Giants perspective, because they overachieved and had such a fun 2022 and won a road playoff game, it set the bar at a level that just wasn't commensurate with their talents. You know what I mean? So really, if it would have been the complete opposite, Giants win, you know, three games or 3-14 year war, I guess the 3 years ago would have been 3-13. And last year they win 6 or 7. And then this year they're kind of trickling toward climate. It's a more of a natural progression. It makes you feel better. I think it emboldens people. All right, we've got the right people in place. This is the way it's supposed to look. It's flipped, which definitely gets people thinking a little bit sideways here. I think that, well, I know that John Mara, who's obviously the owner, he's embarrassed by the lack of stability and the volatility for the Giants. Like, for years, the Giants have been a bastion of, not just in New York along with the Yankees usually, but a bastion for the NFL, consistency, you know, non-impulsive hires, you know, giving guys a chance, players as well, to figure things out, going back to Parcells, who was almost fired after his first year when he went, I think it was 3 wins, whatever it was. He almost got fired. And I do think whether it's the Judge or Shurmur or McAdoo, they've been very hasty and they've been very un-Giants-like. Now, if that wasn't the case, and I know he's motivated to change that because he's embarrassed by it, and he should be, right? You need stability, even if you're not sure that it's 100% the right duo or whatever, to just change in football, you're going nowhere. So he doesn't want to do that again. And I don't think that he will be fired this year unless optics are going to matter here. If the Giants go 4-13 and you get to December and there's 12, 13, 15,000 empty seats, or, you know, the opposing team's fan base infiltrates the stadium, you know, like the Eagles did, like some of the other teams have.
So that sounds just stunningly familiar to the things that we've experienced here.
You guys have been there. You know exactly. It's the same script pretty much, just different uniforms. And if that happens, combined with, and I do think this is a good trait, but it could be a bad one down the road, the intensity of Brian Daboll. You know, I just wonder if it really goes awry and the optics look awful and the questions keep coming and they're not winning and they can't score and they're getting losing by multiple touchdowns to teams they shouldn't necessarily lose by multiple touchdowns too. I think at that point you could have a pivot or a recalibration of whatever the Giants are married to now. And Daboll's the kind of guy. And again, this is, I get this. I like this. I like my coaches to be fiery. I don't need them to be benign, vanilla. No, say what you're thinking, especially here. We'll respect that. We'll give you room, but he's particularly intense. And I know he's pissed and I know he's embarrassed. And if it continues to go poorly, does he have the one press conference, quite frankly, like Joe Judge did, who basically talked himself out of that job? That's why he got fired. They were going to bring him back, and then he just kept yapping. They said, get lost. And I think that that's a possibility. I hope it doesn't happen, because I do think the Daboll could be here. To the point where I say this, Hoff, I don't know eventually what Brian Daboll's New York Giants resume is going to be, but I firmly believe that Brian Daboll 2.0, wherever it is, if it's somewhere else, is going to be better, because he's going to learn. He's going to, you know, tighten up some loose edges. I mean, last year with Wink Martindale, and he was snapping at the media. Like, once he polishes a few things up, I think he could be a great coach. I really do.
But no, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I'm a big fan of both Daboll and Kafka schematically. Like, they are, watching them on film, and I'm lucky enough to get to do that, not only myself, but with a guy in Logan Paulson who played 10 years in the league for the podcast that we do. And like, we do these rankings every offseason of, in the division, we rank position groups, but then we also go and rank the coordinators. And that's probably my favorite show, because Logan just is a gigantic football nerd who happened to be 6'5" and 280 pounds and like smashing his helmet into people. But I'm pretty sure we ranked before the season Daboll and Kafka as the best like offensive coordinator, putting them together in the division because of some of the stuff that they have done previously. And that is actually really interesting to think about now, because when we did our preview show this morning for the weekend, one of the things that Logan said was everything feels hard right now for them offensively. And so I think that there's the personality piece, which I think those of us in Washington appreciate a lot more now, seeing how DQ has been this year and the belief that he is ingrained in this team and how the right demeanor and the right attitude can go a long way with the team. But I'm also curious, like, schematically, what the hell are they doing this year where everything seems so hard for them offensively? Because that was the thing that kind of bridged the gap for Daboll. So I'm kind of curious that both sides, how much of his intensity is impacting the poor play this season and maybe the locker room not being all the way bought in or on the same page or whatever? And how much of this is schematically maybe some teams have figured out what they're doing and they just don't really have good answers?
I don't think it's the intensity. So let me just scratch that off the list there. I think his players like, I think he's a guy's guy. I think you can, you know, you can sit around the locker room. Not that, you know, of course you've got to have separation as a coach. You're not sitting there like your old boys. I get that. But I believe when he strolls through, he has raw and honest conversations with and I think even though he's not young, I think he projects young. He projects a certain coolness, a certain edge that I think is relatable to younger athletes. I do. So it's not that. Now, I have a question for you before I answer the second part of that equation. When you guys were ranking the duos and all the other different checkpoints that you go through, where'd you have the Giants offensive line of the division?
Not very high, which, of course, gave us a lot of, you know, worry because Bobby Johnson wound up coming here. But that's kind of the thing that's interesting, right, is Washington, we didn't have very high either. And the way that Kliff has been able to insulate that offensive line is something that Daboll has been able to do at times in the past. I mean, their injuries, as you well know, right? Their injuries were so horrific the last couple of years that there's almost nothing a coach could do with some of that stuff. But I think the way that they made things easy for Daniel with some of the quarterback run stuff and some of the easier throws, just like getting the ball out of his hands quickly at times was where that was really impressive the last couple of years. And this year, it's just like they can't. And obviously, Saquon also makes it easier. And maybe that's where you were about to go.
Oh, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
You know, not that Saquon didn't have, and he's an amazing player, but wasn't perfect. Very few are. He would dance and he would get a lot of plays that were negative and set you up behind the chains a little. Now, he'd burst one and bust one and he'd wow you with some open field moves. But he wasn't perfect. But what he was, when the Giants came out of the tunnel, there was one guy that you looked at and you're like, this guy can wreck our day. From a coordinator's perspective, the guys know it because talent knows talent and talent knows a lack of talent. League-wide respect and attention given to Saquon. So once that element's pushed aside, now it's purely schematics, it's protection, and now it's really an illumination of what can the quarterback do to elevate. And the answer is nothing. I mean, I just cut to the chase. There's nothing. Now, if everything's perfect with Daniel Jones and he's not asked to throw it, I mean, more so last year with Saquon, not throwing it 35, 40 times, which is never going to be good for Daniel Jones anyway, but, you know, 26, 24, he runs it 5 or 6 times, you know, a little bootleg, a little fake keeper, whatever it might be. Now you got people guessing and now they guess wrong. Bang, Saquon for 50. Now suddenly an average receiver or an average tight end is open because now they got to worry about Barkley and Daniel Jones, who is a good runner, gashing you. Now you take away Saquon, and now you get back to the core element. And, you know, you can have the most sophisticated, innovative, forward-thinking playbook. If you don't have time to execute it, that's it. This ain't high school where you could just out-athlete people or even college, like, you know, you take a top-tier team, play a mid-tier team. Hey, we show up, we get off the bus. We have kids who run 4.4s and 4.5s. You have kids who run 4.6s and low 4.7s, and we're going to beat you to that spot because we're faster, and we're bigger, and we're stronger, and we're deeper, and that's it. Game's over. NFL, everybody went through the combine. Everybody's an absolute physical specimen warrior. So now it really comes down, and I learned a lot of this from Tiki. He's sitting next to Tiki for 10 years. Like, I would rail on, as a Jets fan, the Jets coaches and this and that, you know, and it's such a simplistic thing. But I didn't play offensive lines. So I don't, you know, I'm watching football and I'm watching receivers and quarterbacks and the sexy stuff, right? But I finally learned, finally got through my thick skull. Forget about carving out space to run. if you can't, if you don't have the extra second to let the play develop, you're done. So that's one thing that's not there for the Giants. And then the next thing, you know, if you have somebody or if you have an inferior offensive line, do you have a quarterback who's got the skill set and the makeup? Daniel's tough, but he's not like that alpha, vibrant, you know, like Mahomes and Brady. Oh, we know the Favre and Rodgers when he was younger. Let's go. I know what we got, but I know where we're going. And that's the end zone because of me. Follow me. And that means going off script and making a sick play. And, you know, the bottom line with Daniel Jones is when it's controlled and he's insulated and he's in that bubble of protection, he's fine, which is why they won 9 games a couple years ago. And he played great against the Vikings on the road and they beat a bad Vikings defense and won a playoff game. But now with everything not there, now Andrew Thomas is done, and that's disaster. He's really he's only really, really good player they have. He's great. Now you're saying, all right, Jones, can you make the second level, you know, crossing route? Can you put it in a keyhole 40 yards downfield where it's the defender and it's the sideline and it's yours? And the answer is no. And it's never gonna be yes. Not consistently enough for them to be good.
Right. And to your point about the leadership stuff, is Brandon Tierney, of course, WFAN up in New York, our guest here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. You can listen to, obviously, this show, but also listen to BT's show every day, 10 a.m. to 2 on the free Odyssey app if you want a little bit more New York perspective. But I think back to that first game, like there's a play early in that game where Malik Nabers, I'm pretty sure, because it seemed like every target went to Malik Nabers in that game.
Yep.
He comes out of a deep dig or a deep hook route, like 19 yards, something down the field, and DJ just overthrows him. And, you know, that is the kind of thing where that's good design. They had the right call at the right time, and your quarterback has to elevate. And on the leadership side, I also look at the way Jaden comports himself and you know, Lamar as well. Like, they're quieter guys, but there's a fire that's within. And I think that the comparison doesn't have to be in your face, but it has to be that sense of belief where last week here, you got a bunch of dudes, even the defensive players on the sideline going, I don't know, he's got to throw the ball 65 yards in the air, but we got a chance until that final whistle blows. And I just get the sense watching the Giants offense, like that sense of belief, and whether it came from a guy like Saquon, because we could pitch it to him and who knows what happened, or it comes from a quarterback, I just don't get that sense watching it, and I don't know where you find it in the middle of a season.
You find it in the draft. You don't find it in the middle of the season, to your point. I agree. And, you know, it's one thing when, again, things are going well and, you know, you crank it, even if they're ugly, but you're winning some games like 2 years ago. And the difference is, like, if the Buffalo Bills, I'll just use them because obviously Jaden's a kid, Josh is a stud, he's been doing this for a couple of years now, superstar, right? Big, strong, tough, fast leader, all the stuff you want from your quarterback. He can, on the, not that he's going to light somebody up, a teammate, but he, when you're down, forget about making those high-level throws, Jones can't do that. Can you communicate to a room full of men, okay, that I got you. And whether it's F-bombs or however you communicate it,
right?
Is it believable? Is it transferable? Like, it's one thing to make it seem believable, like maybe you put an act on, but then is it received? That's why I say transferable. And listen, I know that Daniel Jones is respected. He's a smart guy. Several times going back to the Dallas game where he banged up his neck. I mean, he puts his pads down and he seeks contact and he ripped up his knee a year ago and he's always coming back and asking for more. He's like a proud boxer who is never going to be the champion, but you know, you just respect him because he's hanging on to 100%. The ropes. You know what I mean? He's not getting knocked out.
And I think that's a good delineation too, right? Like, you can have respect for guys while also going like, yeah, but he's not that good.
Yep.
And Daniel Jones to me is one of that guy. Real quick, because we're short on time here, BT.
I got you.
How do you feel about the defense with Shane Bowen in year one? There's some stuff they do really well. They lead the NFL in sacks. The rush defense, fourth worst EPA per play in the league. You got your good, your bad. How do you think it ultimately, like broadly, how do you feel? And how do you think about that playing against this matchup with what the Commanders do offensively?
Okay, broadly, I feel good about it. Okay, it's really, put it this way. If the Giants had a bad defense, and I know they are weak in certain spots, particularly third level, whatever, some injuries we know.
Sure.
But if they were like soft and porous and just an eyesore, the Giants would indisputably be, they'd be worse than the Panthers. Like, the defense is, they'd be the worst team in football.
Yeah.
The defense is keeping them around. Dexter Lawrence is an absolute superstar. I like the Burns trade. Now, I don't know if I do like it, and I do like him. Was that the right trade for this team based on where they are and what you gave up in terms of payment and draft equity? I can make a case. I know we're short on time. I won't do it now. I can make a case that probably wasn't the right move. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that Kayvon Thibodeau, who's been out, he's good. He's not great. He's kind of a one-trick pony getting after the quarterback, which is not a bad thing, but he's a little softish on, maybe not even soft, but he's not bullish on the run. He's not stout enough for me. I think that with Wink, Martindale, you know, being forced out, that disintegrating, it could have gone, they could have gotten bad. I think they hired the right guy. I think they're giving them a chance to win. The problem, though, is the season goes on and morale is lost. And even if the defense doesn't say this to us on the – I have a couple Giants. I have Giants on the show weekly. Sure. Like, they're not going to say this because they're professionals, right? But amongst themselves, they start to think it. Yeah, I'm exhausted. It's week 9 and the offense is doing nothing. And they might say it behind closed doors and you might get a little contentious. But once that starts to happen – I think the grip that the defense has on the season, which has been fairly strong and resolute so far, it starts to weaken by the week. And suddenly, instead of losing 17-10, it's 27-6. And then you just don't know where it goes, which is back to the beginning of the conversation. And Dable, optics, what does it look like? I think he's good. I think he'll be back. But there's still a chance that this thing unravels, especially if you guys light him up. And by the way, a good chance that you will. I mean, let me ask you, what do you expect? Give me a broad score. If you didn't make your prediction, that's fine. But yeah, in your mind right now, what are you thinking?
I think that Washington should win this game like 30-14 or something like that. Like, yeah. I just think that their running game is so good. That is where the Giants struggle. They kicked 7 field goals and didn't punt the first time. They've got to be better in the red zone, obviously. Yep. But I think they've already shown they can move the ball on this team, and that's supposed to be the Giants' strong point. And the Commanders' defense has only gotten better since week 2. So it's the NFL. Who knows? Any given Sunday. We saw that last week. If you look at our picks from last week, that wasn't as pretty as, you know, we normally like it. But, you know, I do think Washington is – I think, one, Washington is clearly the better team. And, two, Washington is playing as a mature professional football team for the first time in 30 years. And so it is hard to see them having a letdown because they just haven't done that yet this year.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I wouldn't be stunned if they got 30. I might be mildly surprised if the Giants got 14 at this point. You know, maybe more like 10 or 13.
Daniel Jones has owned the Commanders, though. He sees burgundy and gold, and he turns into a different player. So who knows?
That's true, but I mean, I don't even necessarily think it's a four-quarter game. You know, like 30-14, there could be two types of 30-14s where it's 20-14 or whatever, and then you get a little separation late, and it was you're sweating for three quarters, but hey, we won 30-14. And then there's the 30-14 where you jump on them, maybe you lose a little focus, Giants get a cosmetic touchdown that has no bearing on the game. If I had to pick one of the two outcomes, it's more that, where Giants maybe score one that makes it look more competitive, but if you watch every snap, it wasn't particularly that close.
Yeah, Washington's had shutouts through 3.5 quarters in 2 straight weeks. So it is.
I didn't even realize that. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it is definitely possible. So we will see. If you want more coverage from the New York side of things, WFAN, of course, has it. You can listen to all of their shows, including Brandon Tierney with Sal Licata, every single day, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the free Odyssey app. BT, always a pleasure, man. We'll definitely do this again down the road. And I hope to talk to you, whether it's later in the week or later in the season.
I had a good time, man. Anytime you guys have my number, hit me up and we'll do what we got to do. Thank you, Hoff. Appreciate
we'll
you
having
do. Me
on. All right, that's Brandon Tierney with us, everybody, here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, we dive into the YouTube comments. And this week, they're actually nice to me. It's Never Read the Comments next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Thanks again to Brandon Tierney for joining us here on The Hoffman Show. Streaming live always on The free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, and that is particularly relevant for this particular segment. You gonna hit the intro, Anthony? Is the intro gonna work that you definitely hit because you're good at your job, Anthony? That seems like less of a sure thing. Was that you or was that the computer?
No, it's the computer though.
Okay.
I'm gonna go to the other one.
Dude, okay. Computer number two. Are you ready to go?
Boom. Oh, this one takes a little longer.
Oh, gracious.
I know.
Just a well-oiled machine. Well-oiled machine over here.
And here we go.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
So every single day, we chop up this here three-hour radio show into pieces, and then we put it on the internet for all of you to beat up on. And typically, that's what happens, right? We got people, Craig, why'd you say this? I hate this point. You suck on this. And it's really, really good for morale. But we understand it's part of the game, so we have some fun with it, and we read the comments and yada, yada, yada. This week was a little different, Anthony. This week, people liked me. People really enjoyed the pettiness that I showed towards Bears fans. And so I'm gonna try to make this substantive because we've been talking a lot about the trade deadline today. And as we put the Commanders in the prime contenders tier, there's been some replies to that video that I think jive well with kind of our topic of the day. So come for the substance. We're gonna make you wait for the dessert today of people either encouraging me to dunk on Bears fans or dunking on Bears fans themselves. But we are gonna start with the first in a moose boosh, as always. Just a little something to wet the palate. And then I do want to talk about some of these trade comments. But just to start, Anthony, this was hilarious. At Pam Harris 8397 says, "Stay focused, Craig. The Hail Mary was the..." And that's the end of her comment. Stay focused. Pam, on what? You didn't stay focused long enough to finish your comment. Oh, no. What did Pam want me to stay focused on? I guess we'll never know, Anthony.
I guess we'll never truly know. Was she trying to make fun of you always saying you have ADD sometimes?
I don't know. I mean, I do. It's clinical. It's fine. I'm not offended by it. It doesn't make me worse of a person. It doesn't make me worse at paying attention, but it's not worse as a person. So I don't know. Pam, if you ever want to finish your comment, just, you know, reply to the threat. All right, let's get into the trade deadline. In some comments, we did put the Commanders in our tier rankings in the prime contenders category. We feel like they've earned it. And at this point, considering both their strength and the relative strength of the NFC, where we took every other NFC team out because none of them deserved to be there, the Commanders are the two seed of the NFC, so argue with me on that. I think that they deserve to be up there. That doesn't mean they can't be improved, though. And that's where a lot of the comments on this this video / this segment went to, Anthony. Robert Payne-03U says, "I think for the trade deadline, we're good on pass rushers. We need a number one corner and another wide receiver to bolster both of those rooms." And some level of agreement from Edward Canavan or Edward C. Anavan. This is the fun of doing this. I'm going to go with Edward Canavan. Despite some injuries on the defensive line, Payne and Newton have stepped up their game. This takes some pressure off of the linebackers and Luvu's production and assignment as the field on-field game manager has arrived. Pressure on the secondary has become manageable. They are serviceable. D is not elite, but they're pretty good. Stay the course. So Luvu's been more productive as of late, continued to find his role, doing a good job as a pass rusher. Payne and Newton have been playing better. They played well off each other last week, but I think each and every game, they're going to have to figure out, okay, is Big Phil the guy that we need to play some more snaps here? Is it Newton? Someone besides Payne? Obviously, Duron is Duron. And I'm not saying this is because John Allen is gone. Some of this probably could have and would have happened with John, and it was trending this direction. But the D-line has played better without John Allen. So some people are pro that category. Just stay the course. Stephen P. says, I'd love to stay where we are, and our offense should keep us in games, but I don't trust the secondary nor our ability to stop any run to the outside. People can't hate hearing it how... Jeez, man. Some of y'all need to type better. People can't hate hearing it all day. People can hate hearing it all day is what he meant, Anthony. I had to read it a third time to translate. Sorry. Not the best radio. People can hate hearing it all day, but Washington hasn't beaten anybody. You can't sleep on the Vikings. That wide receiver squad is crazy. They can definitely come out of that division. To which NWTTP responded, and I thought this was a good response. There are like four anybodies. We had a chance versus Baltimore, and there were some whack calls. There were. Baltimore also clearly outplayed. But that's kind of a thing that I think is real this year. There's just not a lot of prime contenders, to use our own terminology, Anthony. And so I think that has to affect the way you're thinking a little bit. Because also think about some of the teams that are contenders, right? The Vikings are doing this with Sam Darnold. What does that mean for their future? JJ McCarthy got hurt and is going to miss the year. And obviously people do know, and it still comes up far too often in these very comments, I'm a big fan of JJ McCarthy. That hasn't changed. Clearly the Washington Commanders made the right pick and taking Jaden Daniels, and by the time draft day came around, I was kind of there saying, like, look, I like both these guys, and depending on the situation, I might like McCarthy better, and we'll never know how right that is until 5 years from now, assuming that McCarthy gets healthy and starts playing. But for here, with this staff, with what they wanted, very clearly Daniels was the right pick, far and away. And so with that said, what is Minnesota's path moving forward? Again, I like McCarthy a lot, and I think he's a great fit for O'Connell's system, but we don't know that. He could bust. I'm not arrogant enough to think that I'm the draft god guru and should have been the G or should be a GM somewhere. I'm gonna get stuff wrong, and maybe I'm wrong on him, and maybe they're wrong on him. And if they are, well, Minnesota's not a long-term contender in the NFC. Like, the Lions are starting to have to pay people. What does that look like over the course of years? The Niners are clearly having a down year. What happens to the Rams post-Stafford? And so you definitely want to be positioning yourself in the NFC to be a team in the next couple of years where the NFC continues to be down. But I think the question that I really have, Anthony, for this trade deadline is how much long-term positioning, nevertheless short-term positioning, can you do right now? And that's where you talk about whether it's pass rush, corner, wide receiver. I'm not interested in rentals unless I'm giving up seventh round picks, maybe a conditional sixth. Hey, if we win a playoff game, yeah, we'll make it a sixth. But I'm interested in adding pieces for the long term right now. And I think that is something that typically you're not thinking about as much at the trade deadline. If you're a buyer, you're thinking just what is it about this year? But I'm looking to add guys that have multiple years left on their contract that I think are good fits in my locker room and in my schemes that are going to help me win this year, next year, and maybe even the year after that.
Yeah, but I feel like one of the callers earlier, he said we need an Adam Peters guy. I don't think you can really know that unless you, you know, get that guy here and things of along those lines. Like,
I mean, you're not going to know for sure, yeah. But at the same time, like, did you know for sure that Jaden Daniels and Mike Sainer still and Brandon Coleman, all those guys? Because guess what? Adam Peters scouted for the 49ers before he got here. Like, he's talked any player that's playing in the NFL right now, Adam Peters is scouted. And maybe he didn't scout them as the general manager of the Washington Commanders, but he has a sense of who these guys are, and they have tape to watch how they play. Like, if you turn on Deontay Johnson's tape, you're going to see some routes that are not up to what the Commanders want, yeah, in terms of urgency and all that kind of stuff. Clearly, when you watch Noah Brown's tape in Houston, one of the things that stood out was like, okay, he's not the best route runner ever. They had other guys they liked for whatever reason, but that dude played hard as hell. Yep. And so if they can go do it with Noah Brown on much more limited tape, I tend to think they can probably do it. And they have files on these guys you know, and not just Adam, but Lance Newmark and all their scouts, like every single player that's playing on another team, this team also scouted. And they have, they're not the same. Guys grow up and they maybe become a little more diva-ish, or they get some money and they don't care. Like, I'm not saying what they were as rookies is 100% gospel, but to pretend like, oh, how could we know if it's an Adam Peters guy because he plays for another team is an insult to how good Adam Peters is at his job.
Yeah. I mean, I was just, you know, curious, just because we are taking a chance when we do try to, you know, lock these guys in for long-term deals, if that is what, you know, our desire is going to be, if we're that aggressive at the deadline kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you definitely need to feel really, really good about the, like, you need to feel good about the character.
Yeah.
But, like, look at their trade history in San Francisco. And this is what I thought was actually really interesting is, like, Christian McCaffrey was everything they wanted.
Yep.
Jimmy Garoppolo was everything they wanted in terms of the character side of it. They also did trade for Chase Young last year. And I think they maybe did that knowing that, oh, Chase and Nick Bosa are boys going back to Ohio State. Maybe, you know, the fact that coming into that room would get a better side of Chase out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they knew he would be playing for a contract because they were like, you know, we're not extending you. Like, you're coming up on the end of your deal. So maybe they thought they could get a better version of Chase Young. And because they were a Super Bowl team, then they were willing to take that on a very short-term risk. Like, if Chase Young had been a cancer in their locker room after 2 weeks, they could have just cut him and been like, well, dang, that was a waste of a third-round pick, but it was worth the upside. Theoretically, right?
Yeah.
That's not that kind of trade I'm not interested in.
Nah.
I'm not interested in bringing in chances. I'm interested in everything in football is to a level of chance, but I'm interested in the guy who Adam Peters would have drafted 4 years ago that now just signed his rookie extension or signed it last year that no longer fits the timeline or the cap sheet of a team that would otherwise keep him. Or maybe they change coordinators and this guy doesn't fit the scheme and now he seems like he's overpaid, but he fits exactly what they know here and they do here, and that guy is going to come in. And the problem is, like, some of these guys are hurt, and that's the killer, right? Is if you look at the defensive end spot, okay, there's a couple of guys, and maybe it's Za'Darius Smith, and he's more of a short-term rental, but, like, maybe worth it. Because also, he's a vet who has been around, played on winning teams. Like, he can make... to borrow a term from Will Dawkins and the Wizards, he can make cultural deposits. And whether you bring him back next year or not is something you can figure out. But he's a guy that's not going to hurt your room and is going to help you. And, you know, maybe a guy like Javonte Jean-Baptiste becomes a better player long-term for being around Za'Darius Smith. Like, that's a possibility, right? But a guy like T. Higgins, like, he plays really, really hard. And he's got a physicality and a intensity to him that I think fits here. I don't know T on a human level. Adam Peters obviously scouted him. And so did Lance and all these other guys. So I'm sure that Bobby Engram, the receivers coach, scouted him however many years ago coming out of Clemson. But if they liked him and they know they got to pay him, like, I'm okay with paying him. Another guy that I would have loved here because he plays really hard and he knows Cliff, but he just got hurt this past weekend, broken collarbone, out for the year. Christian Kirk. Like, give me Christian Kirk. Mm-hmm. That dude plays really hard. He's very talented. He's dangerous with the ball in his hands. You have to game plan for him, but he's not available. Denzel Ward, cornerback, Cleveland. He just got a sixth concussion. I don't know that I want to trade for a guy sixth concussion because I don't know how much he's going to help me this year, and I don't know if he's going to want to play football long term. And he should seriously think about not playing football long term. And so I think that's kind of the problem right now is some of these discussions are really easy on the conceptual side. The more I dig into the actual names and the more names that come off the list, that's where this gets difficult. Like, I don't know if you have any other names that you're kind of you're interested in, Anthony, but like Max Crosby. Yeah. Plays his face off. Perfect commander. Not available. The Raiders have, and he have said, like, we're not, he doesn't want to be traded. They're going to respect that. They're not trading him. So I don't know who the players are at this point. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah, I don't have any other names, to be honest. The Browns, that was the team that came to mind. Deontay Johnson was floated up in the air, of course, but he's gone. As it's more so like we're running out of options for, you know, high impact guys. Like there are players available. It's just we want some, you know, people that's going to change, that can possibly change our trajectory kind of thing. And we don't necessarily have those available. So if we don't have it, then I guess we just stand pat and, you know.
I mean, the good news is if you stand pat, this is a team that's roster has gotten you to 6-2. Here's some of the, like, think of how different this is compared to some of the names that were being bantied about a few years ago. I'm on CBS's NFL trade deadline, ranking the five most obvious deals contenders should make over the next week. They've got the Steelers adding a wide receiver. The names, Devin Duvernay, who, by the way, is currently on IR after he hurt his hamstring 3 weeks ago. Mike Williams from the Jets. I don't think either of those guys are super duper interesting on that front. I love that they say Cowboys running back, like the Cowboys are a contender. You know, Houston, they have as a wide receiver. Could they go get Adam Thielen, who hasn't played since like week two?
Like, or Jacoby Myers from the Raiders.
Maybe. I don't know. Is Jacoby Myers like a... Like, how much better is Jacoby Myers than Noah Brown?
Not much. He's very consistent.
Yeah, I'm not saying Jacoby Myers isn't a good player, but like, you have to get guys that can come in and not miss a beat. And that's why like a guy like Kirk is really intriguing, because he has played in the system before. You know, they've got the Lions getting an edge rusher to replace replace Aiden Hutchinson. Za'Darius Smith is the name that comes up. Like, Za'Darius Smith is probably instantly the Commanders' best pure pass rusher, and he's a good player against the run, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, like, how quickly can you get him to come in? You know, Jadeveon Clowney for the Carolina.
Yeah.
He's an interesting name.
It looked good with Baltimore.
In the division, Azeez Ojulari. Could you peel Trey Hendrickson away from Cincinnati? That I'm interested in. I'd give up something for Trey Hendrickson. Who else is on this list? I mean, Khalil Mack is with the Chargers. The Chargers are good. They're not trading him. You know, they've got in this list, Jonathan Cooper, edge rusher, Denver Broncos. Yeah, you wonder who's going to keep Jonathan Cooper? The Denver Broncos. They're good. So, you know, I just don't think that there is a lot of... There's not as many guys as a couple of weeks ago, because I think some of the guys who were potentially on the trade block got hurt, and that might hurt Adam Peters' ability to actually pull something off. But then again, we could be 1 week from a bunch of teams just being like, eh, we're out of it, and let's punt on the season. All right, good stuff on that. All right, time for the fun stuff, Anthony.
Does this mean Bear stuff?
I actually have something even before that.
Oh, okay.
The other big commented on segment that we did this week was Big Tony's call.
Oh my gosh.
Anthony, do you know what the title that we put up on YouTube for that segment was?
What is Big Tony talking about?
That would have been good. No, I said, is this the dumbest sports radio call ever? For those that missed it, Big Tony, frequent caller, a longtime listener to the station. Big Tony, salute to you, sir. You made absolutely no sense when you called in and tried to explain that the Bears should have run the ball more to try to shorten a game in which they had not scored for the majority of. Because when you're down, you need more time, more possessions, not less. And Farbod21 says, this is why I'm not a fan of radio calls. I get they are part of the deal, but most of them are just so bad. We try to make them not bad on the show. JB-if4DE says, bro, start screening your calls, please. Anthony, that does lead me to ask, what exactly did Tony say that he was going to say? Because we do screen our calls. Anthony's very good at screening our calls. Sometimes people tell Anthony one thing, get on the radio, and do something completely different. What did Big Tony tell you that he was going to do?
I think he said he was going to praise the defense, praise the offense, and that he can't wait until 2 weeks where the Steelers play the Commanders. And then he went haywire and started talking about the run game isn't this and the pass defense isn't that and the Bears. Yeah, I don't know. Some guys aren't coachable. I don't think Big Tony's one of those guys. And Doc Walker has warned me. He has warned me, but... For some reason, he was able to sneak on.
He went rogue on Anthony. Keen Egg 2406. Is this dude Big Tony Druck? WTF is he talking about? Justin Check. Well, listen to hit. Nope, I got nothing. This is really, really dumb. Nothing but the blues. I was literally just typing, Tony is dumber than a box of rocks, when you made the exact same comment. Last but not least, Mr. Swervon. Yo, my head hurts from this call. He really thought he was saying something. Then the statement, dude was thinking about mumbo sauce going to the go-go. What? That was the most open-ended statement. He needed to take a bath, go to sleep, and start his day over.
Wow. That's good advice.
Tony, these are the comments from the internet. I just read them.
Yeah.
Then there was the Bears fans. Bears fans messed around. They found out. They wanted to become part of the show. So on Monday, we actually did a special edition of Never Read the Comments where we let the Bears fans be a part of the show. And we had a couple Bears fans that still can't help themselves. Whisper Mason 8052. Commanders were in Bears fans chats doing the same. Calm the F down. To which I replied, ha, 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 no. Matthew Focheesi, 8740. Bears fan here. I don't know why Bears fans say it anything. We were not there yet. O-line is trash, so I'm here to apologize, but I'm still happy with Caleb. And I said, cheers to you, Matthew. You should be happy with Caleb. He's going to be really good. Your offense is terrible right now. You should hate your offensive coordinator. Spend your energy based off of that. Who added to Craig Hoffman for president? Okay, just kidding. Jaden Daniels for president. and then there was a lot of things. There was some stuff on like specific things. Jay for Junior says it's cakewalk, not catwalk, which was a line because one of the dumb Bears fans said catwalk instead of cakewalk. Wow. He just goes, nasty work. And a lot of laughing, crying emojis. And Dave says it was the funniest part of this video. So, Santi Golder, keep your eyes on your own paper, was diabolical. That was very well liked. And then you had a couple like this. Old Prankster 7606 goes, which, by the way, the fact that this comment comes from someone called Old Prankster, says, I'm sorry, but this is all juvenile. And I just responded saying, mission accomplished. and then last but not least, there was a lot of comments like this. Vindicated and petty Craig Hoffman is my absolute favorite Craig Hoffman.
We might need a little bit more than Craig.
I gotta say, Ant, I was talking about this with Rachel earlier today. I was like, if I just leaned into that all the time, would I do better at this? Would I make more money? Would I get a lot of notoriety? Would I get a lot of attention if I was just petty all the time? Because here's the thing, especially to wrap up Never Read the Comments, a segment where Petty Craig comes out far more often than any segment on the radio show. Y'all don't like petty me nearly as much when I'm not on your team. This happened to be one where the Bears fans were out of pocket, and so they got what they got. But when I turn my pettiness towards Commanders fans, because sometimes y'all also get out of pocket, you don't like it as much. But if I were to just throw away all my integrity and just lean into the pettiness, but always take the side of the Commanders fans, Anthony, where could we go with the show? Is that how Stephen A. did it? Is that why he makes $15 gazillion a year?
Possibly.
He is petty.
Possibly. Sometimes you're just telling the truth, though, you know?
I mean, that's what I try to do. Yeah. I'm just trying to tell the truth. Sometimes it's convenient. Sometimes it's not. I'm just saying, if you made it this far, y'all tell me what you think about that. It's the Hoffman Show. That's Never Read the Comments. We do it 5:30 every single Thursday here on the Team 980. At 6 o'clock every Thursday, we give you the six biggest Commander storylines of the day. We call it our pick six, and it's next here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.